thanks. This is my first Philadelphia Society meeting. I'm very happy to be here. I probably didn't need to tell you explicitly that this is my first meeting, because if what I've seen today is any indication of your customs and traditions, it would have become apparent immediately that I was unfamiliar, because I don't have nearly enough jokes. So you'll just have to forgive me for that. I'll try to do better if I'm ever invited back on another occasion. If we ask, is contemporary environmentalism a religion, we must start with three undeniable observations. The first is that many people act passionately out of what we have come to call environmental concern. And a great many more feel or claim to feel passionately about these same issues. The second observation is that mainline progressive churches and synagogues, along with some elements of the American evangelical movement, have not infrequently adopted the cause and language of environmentalism in their social action agendas or modes of worship. At the same time, environmentalists sometimes themselves speak a religious or quasi-religious language, often when they're speaking in front of such groups, coincidentally enough. The third observation is that there are some, although still relatively few, people who deliberately and explicitly engage in a sort of nature worship. Some others whose beliefs and actions come quite close to such worship. Additionally, there are intellectuals, still rather few in number, but perhaps with disproportionate influence, who are engaged in proselytizing on behalf of this kind of worship. For example, Father Thomas Berry, who in the name of environmental concern looks back, it seems nostalgically, at the pagan despotisms of the ancient world. Or Dolores LaChapelle, very big among deep ecologists, who thinks that one of the problems of modern society is that we lack a sufficient number of orgiastic rituals in the manner of ancient religions. These three observations certainly illustrate, to me, the remarkable effective power of the contemporary environmental movement. But before we conclude from them that this movement as a whole is best understood as a religion, we have to deal with two important questions. The first is, does the temptation to call environmentalism a religion reflect more on the character of contemporary environmentalism or on the character of contemporary religion? The second is yet more basic. If environmentalism is a religion, what difference does it make for our judgment of whether it is a good thing or a bad thing? And let me take up each of these points in turn. The temptation to call environmentalism a religion may stem in part from something that Aaron Wildavsky and Mary Douglas described beautifully in their book Risk and Culture, and that is the essentially sectarian nature of the movement. They illustrate well how in its organization, behavior, and worldview, environmental groups look like many religious sects: oppositional, egalitarian, apocalyptic. But for Wildavsky and Douglas, the sectarian was a kind of organization first and foremost. It could be religious or not. To know if environmentalism is a religious sect, we would need to look beyond its organization and the beliefs characteristic of that mode of organization for something else. What else? What does the word religion add to the picture? Well, I do think if we call environmentalism a religious sect, it is more telling about what we mean by religion in the modern world than about what environmentalism is. The weakening grip of our understanding on the serious nature of faith and the obligations pertaining thereunto is nicely told by the Oxford English Dictionary entry for religion. I hate it when my students, you know, start a paper, well, politics is, according to Webster's, but there are uses to dictionaries. In the OED, you find the first definition of religion as a state of life bound by monastic vows. And then the dictionary proceeds through an increasingly generic series of meanings till we finally get to devotion to some principle. I'm looking forward to the next revision where I suspect we'll find the definition, whatever I feel like doing. Now, if all religion is devotion to some principle, then of course environmentalism is a religion. But I doubt, frankly, that either the friends or enemies of religion would be satisfied with such a degraded use of the term. To paraphrase T.S. Eliot, if our environmentalism is a substitute for religion, then so is our religion. We need to be cautious about associating any and all deeply and passionately held beliefs with religion or with some sort of religious impulse, if we want to use the term seriously. Surely it is possible for there to be serious, faith-based reflection on man's relationship with the created world, something I would add quite different from the environment. Furthermore, in an increasingly secular world, environmentalism may somehow appear as a substitute for faith in God. I mean, that strikes me as perfectly plausible. Yet when we seek to understand the environmental movement and its relationship to such faith, we should be wary of accepting substitutes. When people stop believing in God, C.S. Lewis said, at least I think so, surely someone in this audience will know for sure, when people stop believing in God, it's not that they believe in nothing, it's that they'll believe in anything. That anything does not have to be at all like a religion in any serious sense to fill a space vacant of faith. Particularly if people persistently misunderstand or are made to misunderstand what is missing in our lives. For example, in the Screwtape letters, Screwtape wishes Wormwood to encourage his victim's belief in creative evolution, scientific humanism, or communism. Today, Screwtape would just as well have been done to recommend environmentalism, for it shares with these other isms the future orientation which is, he teaches, at once so appealing and so destructive of virtue. Screwtape admits that the enemy above also wants us to think about the future, but argues correctly that there is no small difference to assert that our father below would have us haunted by imminent visions of heaven or hell on earth, precisely the stock and trade of so much contemporary environmentalism. If these isms are to be treated as religion, they are strange religions that act to destroy faith. I grant that there is significant rhetorical appeal to be able to use phrases like the God that failed or the religion of secular humanism. Just as I think there are audiences before whom it is useful for environmentalists to speak in religious tones. Still, on neither side do these tropes conform to the highest standards of rhetoric. That is to say, they don't speak the truth effectively. If we've come to a point where we can say he recycles religiously with the same seriousness that we might once have said he prays religiously, it is a tribute to the secularism that is inherent in what many mean by religion today, more than it is a tribute to our seriousness about recycling. The category of religion has come to put all faith, revelations, and principles on equal footing, regardless of their content. This is a fine rubric for a secular society, but one which those who live by faith might be wary of. Such creeping secularism makes it hard to be sure about what we are seeing when we find environmentalism infiltrating worship. When progressive congregations adopt programs and prayers calling attention to our environmental sins, they might be making genuine efforts to rethink the status of God's creation as it can be understood in sacred terms. Or they might be falling prey to the temptations of paganism. But it seems to me more likely that they are exhibiting here, as they already have in so many other forms, their readiness to adopt the intellectual fashions of the secular world, whether that secularism is called environmentalism, existentialism, communism, feminism, or postmodernism. We are justified in calling environmentalism a religion, then, only if we are satisfied that mere faith, if one may generalize Lewis in that way, is the same as mere religion. I think it is not, and hence regard this way of conceptualizing environmentalism as problematic. In its origins and still today, in its essence, it seems to me the movement is secular and utopian. It's a political ideology. In fact, most of its key founders were intensely secular in their outlook, an accompaniment of the scientific pretense that was so central to their arguments. In its formative period, the 1960s, environmentalism was more hostile to established religion than not. The fact that Lynn White's famous and famously bad essay blaming mainstream Judeo-Christianity for the environmental crisis was published in Science magazine, the nation's most prestigious general science journal, was as much symptomatic of that hostility as causative. Now, it's always possible that in some manner unknown to them, the environmental popularizers of the 1960s were building on assumptions or using language that can in some way be linked to a faith tradition. Such a claim would be easy to make if there were a bright line to be traced between the conservation movement of the earlier part of this century and contemporary environmentalism, since conservationism shows more signs of having been influenced by various strands of Protestant belief. But Pache Peter Huber, I don't think there is such a bright line. History shows more discontinuity than continuity between conservationism and environmentalism, as the very terms we use witness. We are not all conservationists these days. George Bush did not say he was the conservationist president. We are all environmentalists these days. It was a hard-fought battle between conservationism and environmentalism. Environmentalism won. Now, on the other hand, suppose I'm wrong on this point and that linkages can be made. What does it tell us if we find remnants of older American faith concepts or modes of thought within contemporary environmentalism? Not very much, it seems to me, because the secular intentions of today's authors count for a good deal. You know, maybe the phrase environmental apocalypse wouldn't sound the same to us if it weren't for the apocalypse of St. John. But at the very least, the use of that term commits the contemporary author who uses it to absolutely nothing in respect to Christian doctrine. Woldofsky and Douglas, as I've already suggested, show nicely how apocalyptic tendencies are part of sectarian culture generally, religious or not. It's the glue necessary to hold together a mode of organization that always otherwise verges on schism. As a matter of anthropological or sociological study of environmentalism, I'm not sure that playing the religious card is strictly speaking necessary, except in cases, of course, where the faith content is overtly developed. Furthermore, from this point of view, to speak of finding secularized religious concepts in environmentalism may or may not say something interesting in the history of ideas. But in connection with any serious conception of faith, it would be immediately seen, at least, as conceptually oxymoronic. Let me then turn to my second question. If we accept that environmentalism is a religion, despite everything I've said, what does it tell us about whether environmentalism is a good or a bad thing? The answers provided to this question might give the friends of faith some pause. If environmentalism is a religion, we're told, then we should fear it as we would fear the domination of any religious orthodoxy. If environmentalism is a religion, it should not be taught in schools. If environmentalism is a religion, we should, in my friend Marlo Lewis's memorable phrase, disestablish the green cathedrals and privatize the national parks. It may be a problem for such arguments that they appear to rely on a Jeffersonian wall of separation understanding of the First Amendment that in other contexts conservatives would rightly be loath to rely on. Nor do I imagine that many libertarians would look forward to a world in which a property developer might face free exercise legal challenges should he wish to infringe upon what is suddenly a sacred grove. But I think that this kind of negative judgment of environmentalism as a religion faces yet deeper problems. The fear of environmentalism as a religion implicitly reduces faith to dogma, again, by way of our easygoing rubric of religion. We fear the victory of a dogma that will be enforced by law and policy. However, there's a curious twist. At the same time, the thoughtless toleration that has come to be implicit in the term religion assures us that in matters of dogma, there are no meaningful disputes. We don't want the state supporting teaching Talmud to children, and we equally don't want the state supporting juridical child sacrifice. But as between the two, what can one say? In other words, if we want to critique environmentalism as a religion, we are left with an awkward choice. Either it is bad because it is a religion, on a par with all others and its potential dangers if it gains public power, or it is bad religion. That is to say, in its still relatively rare overtly religious forms, polytheistic or idolatrous in fact and tendency, or in its more mainstream forms, usually just skirting a kind of heretical pantheism. Such concerns as these will have the appearance of mere bigotry if the issue is framed only as what the state should or should not be supporting. While if we start from what the state should or should not support, the religion of environmentalism quickly gains the status of its at least more venerable brethren. Now, as I would want neither a public crusade against environmentalists for being pagans, nor the perception of a moral equivalence between every tree hugger and every rabbinic student, I find this result a Hobson's choice. If we come to accept the proposition that environmentalism is a religion, it will, as a result of this choice, only make the movement the more difficult to criticize. I think, in other words, it will result in a net gain in the respectability of environmentalism, which, of course, it hardly needs. We easygoing Americans rarely publicly criticize a religion not our own, I stress publicly, even as many would tend to be encouraged in that Ben Franklin-esque willingness to cooperate with or contribute to what must, because it's a religion, obviously be a good cause, even if it's not exactly my church. Neither would environmental policies suddenly disappear from the public agenda if the public thought environmentalism were a religion, any more than the fact that some people think our laws against murder are grounded in the Ten Commandments has made those laws disappear. Thinking of environmentalism as a religion then obscures the ground on which we are to judge it a good or a bad thing. That comes as no surprise if it's in fact not a religion but a political movement. Like any political movement, it's based on a normative vision of how the world should be and a diagnosis of what is wrong with the present world based on that vision. Finally, it presents a program for how to achieve the vision. To judge it requires confronting its norms and the means put forward to achieve them. To say all of this is a religion is either to accept the notion that any strongly held normative claim is religious, or to suggest that environmentalists should be free from external scrutiny of their faith claims, or at least as free as any other religious group. You end up either denigrating religion or elevating environmentalism. The result, again, is that you have just made it more difficult to criticize the movement starting from faith or reason. But these are just the sort of critiques that are most necessary. Environmentalism has to be displayed with all the inadequacies of its scientific foundations without implying that flawed science is somehow the essence of religion. Its utopian and indeed often totalitarian political assumptions need to be investigated and exposed. Without the dogmatic assumption that it must share such characteristics with faith. And when environmentalism does make overt faith claims, they need to be critiqued for their theological or biblical inadequacies without the assumption that anything goes under the banner of religion. This is a hard road, and the virtue of giving up and calling environmentalism a religion may be evident to those who think that the battle against environmentalism is lost in principle and its ill effects can only be confined, its less problematic aspects channeled in healthier directions. I'm not convinced that such tactics will work against what is still a relatively young and vigorous sect. But even to treat the matter tactically in this way is to forget something so basic and one might have hoped so obvious that I almost hesitate to say it. If religion retains any meaning, it is a meaning that centers on God. The environment is not God, and God is not the environment. Environmentalism does not start from faith in God, but from faith in our own powers. It may pretend to be a religion sometimes, or we may pretend it is a religion. But as the old joke goes, you can call the cat's tail a leg, but a cat still doesn't have five legs. Thank you.